All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. And because of the holidays and whatnot, we haven't had Matt Shook on in at least 2 weeks. I think we missed last week with Matt, but we've got Matt on board now. And welcome back. And we were kind of talking off the air, but I know you had a good holiday. There you are. Okay.
Yeah. Just all the gathering with friends and family, all the good food. And I just can't look at a table of food or, you know, another beer or another drink and say, nah, you know, I'm good. So I'm just not very equipped to handle the holidays in a responsible way for my stomach and health. So I was happy to have 2019 get here, kind of settle back in, and we're ready to kind of get rid of all those pounds now, I guess, right?
All right, I have to ask, are you a craft beer guy, or are you just an any beer will do guy?
Any beer will do, guys. That's me. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'll try any craft beer you put in my hand. That's fine. I'm sure I'll like it. I haven't found a lot of beers that I would not drink, but certainly in my fridge, you got the Labatt, and then, mostly the craft beer is just for guests. It's just in case someone, wants to indulge in that kind of thing. But yeah, any beer will do.
So let's embarrass our friend Paul Costanzo.
Sure.
And flashback to the days of the Sports Attack when you guys used to alternate weekends with me. Mm-hmm. And I believe you were with him when he phoned. I don't know where you guys went for the weekend, but you went somewhere and you drank a lot on Friday. And it was his turn to call in on Saturday. And he basically did the call in standing next to the toilet in the hotel bathroom.
Exactly. Yes. It's what can I say? You know, Paul and I together, and thank God that since I've moved away from Port Huron, it's probably helped our lives separately in good ways. Let's just put it that way. But I miss my times in Port Huron. I miss the good times with Paul, and obviously the Sports Attack in WPHM was a big part of that. I'll be back in the Port City soon, to visit all you guys, and I certainly finally remember my time there, and even the times that Paul and I forgot.
All right, so let's get to the Pistons. December 1st, they were 13-7. Since, they've gone 4-13. How can this team look so good for a stretch and then look so bad for a stretch with basically nothing really changed, at least personnel-wise?
Yeah, no personnel. I mean, some might argue that the injury of Ish Smith was a big role. I mean, it's a factor. It's not a huge difference in the team, obviously. And if, like I kind of said on the podcast the other day, if Ish Smith's injury is the reason that your season gets derailed, then you didn't really have a season anyway. Let's just put it that way. But and a lot of that can be explained with the schedule. You know, they've had a really tough schedule in December and early January. But like you said, it's definitely true. It was a team that was playing very well for 6 weeks, and it's a team that's been playing very poorly for about 5 weeks now. You're three games under 500 again, of the low water mark of the season right now. You're outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs by one game. And, geez, to be outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs with anything other than a team that's, you know, young and tanking and looking to the future is an abomination. I mean, that's just embarrassing. And that's where the Pistons are at right now. Heading out west after tonight's game for four this week. It's not looking good. You got the trade deadline is actually 1 month from today, and there's a lot of questions about this team that maybe we'll get some answers to here in the next month.
Is there anything attractive about the Pistons that other teams would be interested in? And let me ask this question too: are the Pistons buyers or sellers?
Man, that is a great question. I will say about attractive pieces, it'll start with the top. Blake Griffin is a guy, and I know he has a gigantic contract, but he's been playing very well. I saw him up close and personal on courtside on Saturday night, another disappointing Pistons loss, but he was outstanding once again, 34 points. If some team wants to shake things up alongside the Pistons and maybe go star for star or something like that, or maybe some team can figure out a way to get Blake Griffin, I don't see it happening. I don't think it's likely at all, but that's an attractive piece. You've got Luke Kennard, who was the first-round pick last year. Every three or four games or so, he seems to look like he's turning a corner and then kind of retreats for the next three games. I want to blame Stan Van Gundy and Dwayne Casey for that a little bit without giving him consistent minutes and consistent role in the offense. Stanley Johnson has shown flashes as a defensive player and a very advanced athlete as far as his body, just an outstanding specimen. Obviously, he hasn't been able to consistently put together any kind of offense, especially for three-point shooting. But he's a young guy, 22 years old, restricted free agent this year. So maybe if you're banking on other teams not giving him a big offer sheet, then maybe you could bring him back for cheap. But, yeah, I've just named three pretty good pieces, but they all come with their own caveats as far as lack of consistency, too big of a contract. You know, so there's holes in all sorts of even the assets for the Pistons, of course, other than the first-round picks that they have. They have a full slate of first-round picks for the next several years, so maybe that's a war chest that Ed Stefanski and the Pistons could deal from, but certainly something that the fans don't want to see, especially ones who want to start looking ahead to the next 3-4 years, retooling, going under a little bit of a rebuild once again. First trade and first-round picks is not a way to get that done. So there's no easy answers. If they're buyers or sellers, I would say if it was me, I would sell. I would sell Reggie Bullock, who's a free agent this summer, and collect what you can for him in a trade, possibly even a low first-round draft pick this year because of his advanced shooting prowess. I think that you could get a little bidding war going for contenders, for anyone who could use a guy shooting over 40% from three-point land. And I also would sell Ish Smith. Now, of course, he needs to come back from injury as quickly as possible so he can prove that he's healthy enough to help a contender before the February 7th trade deadline. But I think he's a valuable piece for teams to possibly use as a backup point guard, change of pace, a veteran guy who can step in to pretty much any offense and be productive. So I think those are the two pieces that the Pistons would try to sell if you can get anything meaningful offered for Ish Smith, probably a second-round pick type of thing. And then, like I said, Reggie Bullock, maybe even getting as much as a first-round pick. But if you really want to sell and think big, maybe you look at Andre Drummond in the middle, too.
Yeah. My guess is that they're still thinking playoffs and that playoffs is important to Tom Gores, and that they might be looking to add that final piece. Who would be a guy that you think they'd be interested in and that would be obtainable and that they could work a deal for?
I think a name that we've kind of thrown around a little bit is Jeremy Lin with the Atlanta Hawks. That's a team that's certainly a seller. You know, they're one of the bottom teams in the NBA. No designs on being good at all this season. So those are the type of teams that you need to find those veteran guys on. So if you want to pick up some backcourt help, if you don't think Smith is going to come back or you want some more shooting, a guy like Jeremy Lin from Atlanta would be someone to look at. And then, yeah, just pick your roster throughout the NBA and find those bad teams. And if you want to give up a couple second-round picks or a second-round pick or maybe some other assets that you have stored away, you could possibly get a Jeremy Lin type. Or, you know, I saw that Phoenix just picked up Quincy Acey on a 10-day deal. If a guy like that goes out and proves that he's still got NBA toughness and NBA three-point shooting, maybe there's a guy you could add to your front court if you don't think that John Lewis any kind of answer is a reserve big man, which you'd be justified in thinking that for the last couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, those are the type of names. I mean, if you're thinking about Kemba Walker or some of these other names that might be available via trade, Bradley Beal, those kind of names, I don't think that's realistic for the Pistons to go for those names just because they don't have the amount of assets that teams want. And really, to get one of those types of names, you'd have to pretty much pool all those attractive assets, and that's just too much for the Pistons to give up.
And,
right
and it just seems tough to me, Matt, unless those teams that are around the Pistons in the standings are looking to tank and not make the playoffs, that anybody battling for a spot for the playoffs isn't going to make a deal with the Pistons anyways.
Right, yeah, you got the five teams in the Eastern Conference that are very good, you got the five teams in the Eastern Conference that are very bad, and the Pistons are one of those teams right in the middle that, you know, could end up with the 6, 7, or 8 spot, or could be one or two spots out of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Again, it's pretty depressing to think that way, seeing as though you're contending with teams like Brooklyn, whose best player has been out for most of the year. They're still not very good, they're still very young, and the Pistons find themselves one game behind Brooklyn and outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs right now. So I wish that I had better news, but that's just what it is right now for the Pistons.
All right, San Antonio's in town tonight. This is not your father's Spurs, but they're still pretty good. Although I do notice they struggle on the road, but we're catching them, of course, right in the middle of a 4-game win streak.
Yeah, they really turned it up. They beat the Clippers the other day, and then they had a 3-game home trip where they beat Boston, the Toronto Raptors, and the Memphis Grizzlies. So it's a team coming in very hot right now. And like you said, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, it's not exactly Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili, but it's a really good team. What's interesting about the Spurs is we all talk about the three-point shooting and the shot spectrum of Dwayne Casey. You got to either shoot a three or a dunk, something close to the rim. The Spurs shoot the least amount of three-pointers per game in the NBA, but yet they have the highest percentage of three-point makes throughout the league, and they have the least amount of shots from 5 feet and closer. So they're pretty much the anti-shot spectrum. They're going old school. LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, two mid-range specialists. They're playing like back in the 05 finals days between the Spurs and the Pistons when Rip Hamilton was throwing up mid-range jumpers and Tony Parker was doing the same thing. So they're kind of turning back the clock, but they're 23-17. They're very good. They'll probably be a playoff team once again, like they are every single year, like the old Detroit Red Wings were. So they're kind of the gold standard of franchises in the NBA, and it'll be kind of a contrast tonight downtown.
You know, it's just crazy now when you watch a game and Andre Drummond is shooting threes out of the corner, and Lopez is out there for Milwaukee the other night knocking them down. It's absolutely crazy. All right, a little off the subject, but before I let you go, national championship tonight. Is there any way Clemson can beat Alabama? Because I need Clemson to win that game to beat Brady Beeden in our bowl picks.
Well, you know, I think there's a way. I mean, I think from what I've seen of Clemson this year, I've been very impressed. Certainly Alabama's the better team and the favorites, but college football, I mean, other than kind of Alabama over these past few years, you can kind of sometimes root for some upsets and it can happen. But, I do like Clemson. I like the freshman quarterback, Lawrence. I love the haircut, first of all. Tua and the way that Alabama plays offensively and defensively. We've known that Alabama has been so strong defensively over all these years, but the fact that they can add that offense that they have this year makes them super impressive. I'm not going to make you too happy and pick for Clemson to win, but certainly there's a chance. And I'm just hoping for a good game. I mean, those semifinals, and if you can throw Michigan and Michigan State bowl games in there, such a drag for those games so far this year for bowl season that above all else, I think we're all kind of rooting for a pretty good game.
Yeah, there was a stretch kind of in there before the last weekend, like before the games on January 1st, where there were some really good games in there, and it almost made you feel like, well, if the bowl games are going to be this good, people will back off on the whole expanding the playoff thing. Because and Brady made a good point, too. You get Alabama going up against the 8th seed team. Do you really want to see that game?
Yeah, that would probably not be very good. That'd be like a Michigan type of team going up against Alabama, and that would not have gone well for Jim Harbaugh's group. So, no, I agree. I've always kind of wanted the 8-team playoff. I still do. But, 4 teams is pretty good. And then at some point, you know, you're going to get a little – if you see 3 weekends of championship games – you might get a little fatigue about that. I mean, you know, the college football we know is built on the rivalries and the conference matchups. And then to throw 3 weekends, it'd be a lot. But, I'd certainly want it, but I could see what Brady's talking about as far as preserving some of the college bowl system. I mean, to me, college football is still all about those rivalries, but I do want to see some kind of championship. So I can kind of see both sides of it there.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we'll let you go, but thanks as always.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dennis.
And the podcast, fire away again.
Yeah, iTunes, Locked On Pistons, or anywhere. You can find us on your Alexa, Amazon Alexa, the Google Play with OK Google. Just say, play podcast, Locked On Pistons, and hopefully some of the listeners have just started right now, as I said that, on the air, on their Alexas. But yeah, you can find us on all those platforms. Find us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Daily podcast about the Pistons. It's less than 30 minutes, so it won't take up much of your time. And hopefully entertain you along the way.
All right, perfect. And I'll give you a call again next week, and we'll do this again.
Looking forward to it, Dennis. Have a good one.
All right, see ya. There's Matt Shook joining us on the program. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more. I'm going till 6:30 today here on the Dennis Stuckey Show.